harassment, the breadth and variety of harassment I have discovered on Ninja News Japan doing all these stories over the last few years has been impressive. And yet, I keep finding new ones that I didn't think about or didn't know about. And some are justified, some are not. I mean, I'm basically working on podcast harassment right now, where it's either would be a guy who has a podcast tells you about his podcast all the time, or podcasts are just annoying you. I can't figure out. I think it would be the guy, because it has to be a person that harasses you. Harassment has to come from someone and lead to something else. So it would have to be, yeah, that guy who has a podcast, who's constantly telling me about his podcast, trying to, did you check out my last podcast? I try not to be that guy, but it happens, because sometimes we'll talk about something, let's say in my office, and it'll be something I did talk about on the podcast, and I want to either say the same thing, but I want to, like, if you've already heard the podcast, I don't want to tell you it again, because you know my thoughts and ideas. But then I worry I bring it up too often. But I think the fact that I worry that I bring it up too often, I think the fact that I worry about the fact that I bring it up too often, which is a fact, shows that I'm probably not bringing it up too often. I hope. That's my goal. My hope, my desire is to not bring things up too often when it comes to the podcast. I don't want to be one of those podcast guys when I am absolutely definitely one of those podcast guys. Lots of stories this week. Thematically, I was drawn, after did a couple of harassment stories in my notes, was drawn towards the harassment. Pretty good. There's some other stories, but harassment is our main theme for today. I normally, for people who are viewing on the internet, try to keep the notes a bit farther away, so it's under the camera. So I'm actually usually holding it like right here. I'm half blind now. I don't want to get into my personal issues, but if I hold my notes too far away, not only is my handwriting messy, I just can't see them anymore. So you're going to see a lot of me reading the notes, but they're relatively up close to my face. It is the sad development of the constant degradation of the human body, which I am experiencing in real time. I'm okay with it, though. You know what's shitty, though? The worst part. So right now, my right eye is fuzzy. And if you want the story, I'm going to tell that story in the C. McBee. So if you want the actual story, which has some honestly traumatic elements, you can listen to that episode that's going to come out after this one. But I'm blind. It's just, I'm fuzzier than normal. So my eyes are already garbage. I've been wearing glasses since I was 16, but, my left eye basically can't focus right now. So what it's doing is my right eye can't focus. My left eye is now doing all the heavy lifting. I'm pretty sure that's what was happening before anyways. But as a result, everything's a little fuzzier. It actually would be easier if I just had a patch and couldn't see. Like, that actually would be better visually. Like, if I just had this eye closed and then was just reading or doing normal stuff, it's actually clearer than having this eye open. But I'm pretty sure that's also bad. There's no good thing here. There are no good things here. Dave is here. Dave's a good thing. Dave is asleep in my lap. He's been very annoying today. I think I've started this a half hour later than I normally would have, because Dave would not leave me alone. Harassment. It's pet harassment. I'm going to be trying to frame everything in some kind of harassment. Some of the harassments I've learned about, there was a maternity harassment. So you're having a baby, you want to go on maternity leave. So they harass you. You get pregnant and they harass you to quit. There's men going on paternity leave. They harass you not to take the paternity leave that you are legally obligated to. But we're going to get into some interesting ones today. The first one, and this is, again, this was new. So I do enjoy new things. Indirect power harassment. And so this, what is it? It's actually the kind of the first question. What is indirect power harassment? This is when you're forced to watch verbally abusive behavior towards a subordinate, which causes you emotional distress. So basically, you're in an office. Most Japanese offices are open concept. I work in an open concept office. I fucking hate it. I understand the idea of the concept office. I don't think the reality matches the idea. I think the idea is that we're supposed to be like collaborating and working together. But really what happens is I'm trying to get some work and the dude behind me is having a conversation on his phone and his voice is way too loud when he's on the phone. The people are in the table, the desk across from me are having a different conversation and they're speaking in normal tones, but that's just now cross volume. There's a dude in the far corner and he's decided that this is the perfect time to open an incredibly crunchy plastic bag where he's going to pull out sembe and eat the sembe as loud as humanly possible, eating with his mouth open, filling the office with the smell of shrimp. This powdered shrimp I also hate. Honestly makes me feel sick. And then there's some drama somewhere else. That's the reality of the open concept office. I think the second part is the open concept office means that your boss can see everybody in one go. So it's not like a micromanaging thing, but it's kind of like, if I can see you, you can't be fucking around too much. If I was going to fuck around, I would just get up and leave the office and look busy. The interesting thing, if you work in an open concept office and you are constantly in meeting rooms and conference rooms and stuff, they think you're, this is not advice, although you could take it as advice. If you are constantly in meeting rooms, watching YouTube videos or TikTok or working on your novel, other people will see you in that room at a computer, writing, working. You're a busy guy. I'm not saying anyone has ever done that, but there's, if you walk around with paper in your hand or a notebook and you walk with determination, people think you're busy. People thinking you're busy is more important than actually being busy. As long as you get all your work done, all that extra time that could be like filled time. What the fuck am I talking about? This guy worked at a company. It was a government inspection agency. And he said it was painful to feel complicit. So he basically, he's working in an office. His boss is standing behind him with his boss's subordinate. And his boss is just reaming this guy. And he's sitting there in silence. And he says that complicity caused him pain because he's like, I didn't stand up for him. I just sat there. And that caused me emotional distress. April 2021, he said he witnessed daily abuse. The boss was calling the subordinate a rotten human. And he said he should give his salary back because he doesn't do any real work. And then he said, like, you should quit or it would be faster. You should just go hug a female passerby or expose yourself below the belt and get caught by the police. Now, there's a couple of interesting, like, these are Japanese insults. So Japanese insults, they don't tend to actually say anything like that you would consider directly offensive. It's how you talk to people, not what you say. So him saying, like, you should give your salary back. I mean, that's a lot of pressure. You're a rotten human being. That's insulting, but not terrible. But this last one is like, let's expedite your removal from the company. Just go commit sexual harassment, and then we'll be done with each other and get arrested. It does lead you to an interesting point is if you're the guy sitting in the chair, what do? Do you stand up for the guy or do you just like accept it? So this guy basically, he's saying, I just sat there and that caused me stress. That indirect harassment caused me enough stress that I'm suing this government agency. He filled in a report in December and by January, the harassment stopped. So actually, this guy who's making this claim, he took action and he didn't like step in because I think stepping in just puts you in the target. So that's actually probably not actually the best way to handle this. He sent in a report. There was an investigation and the harassment stopped. So this boss got in trouble. But what happens to you? Well, his evaluation that year, which was normally an A, which I assume is the best, went down to a B. And he says this was an unfair evaluation. And it's because he put in this report to stop the harassment. And everyone's going, no. That's a fair evaluation of your work and your efforts and stuff. So he's in a tough spot and he says, like, look, he was treating this indirect harassment, caused me stress. I had to report it. And then because of that report, I got a lower evaluation. That lower evaluation, of course, means less of a bonus or whatever. I'm losing money. Sue the government. Court case isn't finished yet. But it is interesting because I think there are some valid points here because it's not when you like scream at an employee in an open office thing, it's not just the employee that has to take it on. It's the other people, like, they get that stress. They get that sort of reflected stress and what do I do and how do I handle this? That is all problematic. So indirect stress, I actually think there is a validity to it. I don't know. I think the problem is, like, two people could have an argument, like a legitimate argument, a disagreement, whatever. And then I'm in the room. Do I then claim that that is indirect harassment because it caused me stress because I heard them argue? So then you can see where it could be taken sort of out of context. But I think this case, when you get down to the details, because this guy filed a report and then it came back on him indirectly, everything was indirect. That's a very Japanese way to handle stuff. It was all indirect. The boss couldn't harass him anymore, but he can mark him down on his evaluation. He says this is all unfair. I think this might be a legitimate case. I read that title and I was like, there's no way that's a real thing. You just got to like buck up and stuff that happens between other people, you got to ignore it. And I was like, no, I work in an open concept office. I want to murder half the people in that room half of the time. So that's 25% murder rate, I guess, if I was successful. I don't really want to hurt anybody. I just want silence. Working in the same place for as long as I have, I now notice the quirks of other people so much that the very innocuous things set me off. I've always hated the open concept office. I don't think cubicles are better because I work with a team and I should be able to work with my team. I don't necessarily think we deserve an office. So there is an interesting problem because for me, the cross chatter, the noise and stuff, I'm sensitive to it, I guess. It really bugs me. I find it very hard to concentrate. And then we're also in a situation where if I stick on headphones, I'll get in trouble. Like if I stick on just my noise canceling headphones, not even listening to music, they would probably complain about that. But I'm interested to see where this case goes. I'm pretty sure he's going to win something. I don't think he's going to get that much. The problem is, does he have to go back to his office? He was in his 50s, so he might be like changing sections or retiring soon or something like that. I don't know, but it's a very tough position to be in, and it gave me a lot to think about because I started out thinking like indirect harassment, that sounds like some just wuss stuff. And then when I actually got the deals, I'm like, nah, because he actually felt he had to take action and write a report and then was kind of punished for it, I do think this might be legit. More harassment. This, I think we all know this. We've seen it. It's basically Karens. They're calling it customer harassment. And I think we've all experienced this via the internet. So this experience was not a surprise. I don't think this is a new thing. But this was about companies being like, we have to set up guidelines when people come into our stores as customers and act as like assholes. How do we deal with them? So a lot of them are like, well, you get the manager and stuff. But these are okay, we have to define it. And that's actually was the bit to me that was most interesting is how do you actually go about defining what constitutes harassment? Because it's all conceptual and about feelings and stuff. So that makes it a little more difficult. It's essentially customers losing their shit. They did a survey in 2017 of 50,000 people. That's a pretty good sample size. These were all people who worked in customer service. 70% said they had experienced some form of the following harassment, most of it being verbal. So it's people just talking, shouting, getting super angry at some customer service person. And this has always bugged me. I did customer service, but I had a very positive experience overall. I've mentioned this before. When I was in university, I sold dog food in a dog food store. We didn't keep dogs. We just sold food. So dog food, cat food, other kinds of food. People would come in, people with pets, people would bring in their dogs mostly, and they were super chill. You give their dog a snack, a cookie, and the owner was really happy. So everyone who came in, 99% of the people were super chill. I didn't have any of these Karen experiences that you see on the internet, but I think the dog food selling industry, it's a different customer base. And as long as you treat their animals well, they're super happy about it. In Japan, it got to like people throwing money at the person and them crying as they pick it up. That was one of the stories that was in there. And there were several demands that people get down on their knees to apologize. So like the bowing, sort of you've seen in a movie, bowing to the emperor, seiza, kneeling, bow, I'm sorry, put your head on the ground kind of thing, which is demeaning. It's supposed to be. And not something that a customer service person should have to do. Because as we all know deep down in our hearts, that minimum wage employee has no power. They're doing as they are told. They've been told what they can and cannot do, and it's mostly can't. And you're angry at them. And you're angry at them because you're not getting instantaneous satisfaction for anything. And you think, oh, Japan's a very polite society. Japan's a very great place. It's got its fair share of shitty people. And those shitty people, it turns out, are a specific demographic. One that if you've watched Nintendo Japan before, you will know what is coming next. There was a statement, someone grabbed me by the collar and threatened to kill me. So that's problematic. The 2020 survey found that men are 75% of the offenders. So I think in the West, because of the internet primarily, we have an image of the Karen. It's an older female who is trying to assert her power in the world. In Japan, I think it's an older Japanese man, 75%, and over 40. So it's 40 plus, where most of the people, I think it's different. I think they're trying to hold on to the power, or they've gotten so entitled because now they are an older man and the hierarchy of the world has built around them in such a way and respect and whatnot. So at any time they can fly off the handle and they think they should just be forgiven it for it. They think they should just be forgiven for it because I'm an older man and everyone should respect me and do what I want and make me happy. That is the patriarchy in action. 90% of the people who do this kind of behavior are over 40. 75% of total are men. So not a surprise to me that older Japanese men are acting like shit when they get pissed off. Because yeah, they have been raised in a society where they get to this point where they think everyone should do what they want. If they don't do it instantly, they think that's a problem. I think some people need some ass kickings. It's the final harassment for today, which is very nice. A GSDF member, so a ground self-defense force member, a member of the Japanese military. He was forced to write a 10,000 character paper reflecting on his self as a penalty. This was interesting. So he's in the military and they're like, you've done something bad. I kind of want to hold back on what the bad bit is. You've done something bad. I want you to reflect on that. So I'm going to make you write an essay like a child in high school. That is your punishment. He joined the military in 1986. This incident happened in 2017. So if he joined when he was 20, this incident actually happened. He would have been 51 when the incident happened. The commander was angry that he had gained weight. So this guy who was 51 years old in the ground self-defense force, his commander was angry at him because he'd gained some weight. I don't know what, they didn't say how much weight. He might have been a chubby guy, might not be. This guy claims they were trying to get him to quit. He had a bum leg, probably because he was in the military and did activities and got hurt, and that hurt never really healed properly. I, as someone who's done judo my whole life, have several injuries that never really healed properly. So he's got a bum leg. His room was on the fifth floor with no elevator. So he had to take five flights of stairs every single day up and down to get to his room. And they knew he had a bum leg and they put him there anyways. And then they're like, hey, you got a bum leg. Clearly you're not gonna be able to exercise as much as you used to when you were 20, you 51-year-old piece of shit. You fat fuck. So I'm gonna make you write an essay. They wouldn't let him leave until he'd finished the essay. So he had to work on this for 9 hours straight. They wouldn't let him go to sleep. And he's saying like, this was all just different kinds of harassment to try to get him to quit. The government argued that this was a legitimate order, despite the fact that like they're denying him sleep and stuff, and they know he's got a bum leg and they're doing all this other crap. He's suing them for 1.5 million yen. The court has been like, absolutely, this is power harassment. You know he's got a bum leg. He's 51 years old. He's with a bum leg, which means, yes, he's going to gain some weight because he can't exercise like he used to. He's not a 20-year-old recruit anymore. You guys have put him on the fifth floor. Fuck you guys. 1.5 million yen to him, please.
Shouldn't you be able to leave the JSDF after a set number of years?
I mean, you should be able to leave, but I think this guy was, he'd probably done X amount of years and wanted to stay. Because he wanted his pension. I don't know the system because it's not the same as the military in America or other countries. So he could have retired, yes, but I bet he was wanted to stay in. This has been his whole life. Like this was clearly, if he'd been there for 31 years, this was his first job. I bet to a degree for most of that, he liked being in the ground self-defense force. And he wanted to hit, he's 51. He's like, X65 is going to be retirement. He's going to hit that retirement age. And then he's going to get a bigger pension. And then I bet these commanders are like, I don't like you. You're not like as active as the other 20-year-olds running around. He probably hasn't gotten to this highest level. And my mind keeps going back, probably because he was injured. He couldn't just do stuff. So he got a desk job and he worked his desk job. Maybe he was competent. Maybe not. I don't know. They wanted him out. The thing that is weird to me is like the pension set by the government. It's paid for by taxpayer money. It doesn't negatively impact the commander of the base. It doesn't make him look bad if this guy hits retirement age. That's the weird part to me. The only reason the commander of the base would have done this is because he did not like this guy. And that is power harassment. That is it. Like, I'm in a position of power. I don't like you, so I'm going to make your life worse. He could have quit, yes. At 51, though, in Japan, you're probably not getting a different job. So unless he's ready and financially capable of retiring, because 1.5 million yen, because we use the M word, the million, it sounds like a lot. If you put that into American money, that'd be about $10,000. That's money, but it's not life-changing money. It is pretty shit. I think the more I read into it and the more sympathetic I came to be towards this guy, because I bet he was, again, that fifth floor bit, that's one of those little like, just every single day he's got a bad knee. Let's just run him down. And that's years and years and years he lives in that dormitory. So I don't know how much money he has, but $10,000, while it is a significant sum of money, it's not going to be enough to retire for the next, let's say, 20 years of your life. You're not living off that for 20 years. Prime Minister Kishida, he is pissed. So they wanted to have a party, the LDP, the Liberal Democratic Party. They have all the junior members. And they're like, hey, guys, you know, welcome to the Democratic Party. You guys are awesome. We're all going to get together, have a little party. Some of us are going to dip out, but you have a good time. Then, so all these young junior members of the LDP are having drinks at this, like, I assume, fancy hotel. Curtain goes up. What happens? Bunch of go-go dancers come out in their underwear, and then the party gets started, and they got these young politicians putting 1,000 yen notes in their mouth and holding it out to the dancers, and the dancers taking it from their mouth with their mouth. So you know what kind of party it was. Now this doesn't really have the optics that the LDP really wants to be putting out in the world. Japan is suffering from a lot of like, hey, maybe our patriarchy bullshit isn't cool anymore. Maybe we got to stop that. Maybe we got to be inclusive. Maybe we got a good people. We got to stop fucking around. Back to the old man issue. We got these old men who grew up in the 60s, 70s, and 80s who are still running stuff, and they don't understand the world has changed. And so they're still doing dumb shit like, hey, let's have a party where people can take pictures and have go-go dancers come out, have them party with the junior members where people can take pictures. And, you know, that's not going to get out and cause us any problems because we're all men having a good time. So Kishida, the prime minister, gets up and is like, dude, guys, what the fuck? Seriously, what the fuck is wrong with you guys? So the two guys who organized the party, they had to resign. They were out already. So two guys have already lost their jobs over this. His actual statement, he didn't stand up and say, what the fuck, guys? I would be a great politician in that I would literally stand up and go like, guys, what the fuck? What are you doing? What he said, in no way is this consistent with the diversity the cabinet aims for. So he's like, we're trying to be inclusive. We're trying to show that we are equitable, that we care about all the people of society, that we don't treat people poorly. So objectifying women is really just not on the docket here. You guys got to chill this shit out. And since these old dudes with money, they don't think they're going to get in trouble for anything. They don't think they do anything wrong. Guys had to sit down. They had to sit down and have a meeting to organize this party. Like, hey, 70-year-old, 60-year-old Japanese men sitting in a conference room. Like, we got all these young guys out here. We want to have like a welcome party for them. And then these old dudes are like, hey, you know what'd be awesome for a welcome party? Because let's not even take into account that at this time, female politicians, junior members might not just all be dudes. Because back when they started, it was only dudes. So they're like not in their brain. They can't even comprehend that there might be women included in this, and this might be off-putting for them. You know, it'd be a great party. Back in my day in the 80s, we had these ladies come out and they were wearing like basically nothing. It was awesome. They did a little for you. And then we put money in our mouth and the money of our mouth. And I was incredibly sexually frustrated for like days afterwards. The image is bad. Again, two guys lost their job. I'm just imagine that meeting, that at the end of the meeting, they're all like high-fiving each other with what this great plan they came out with. And then when that first picture hit the internet, my God, the surprise. Like, whoa, people are unhappy about this, this thing that we did, the way our government is run. The only saving grace of this is they didn't use taxpayer money. This was actually all privately funded. So at least the taxpayers didn't foot the bill, which has been a problem in the past. All right, since we're sort of talking about sexy, sexy stuff, there was a couple of surveys done about the sexless nature of Japanese relationships. And so we're talking about the birth rate is incredibly low in Japan. The step before birth rate is the sex rate. And that's something people are not generally comfortable talking about, but it is known now. A lot of young people are just losing interest in relationships. So a lot of young men aren't going after relationships. A lot of young people are not getting into relationships. A lot of young people are staying virgins later into life. This is all problematic because it means those relationships are not developing. They don't know what they're doing. They don't form solid relationships, and that's why they don't have marriages. The marriage rate's also dropping. There were two surveys done, so this is why the numbers don't match up. It's interesting. They did not give the number of the sample size, which could skew things very wildly one way or the other, but 48.3% of married couples do it zero times a month. Like, that's it. So you're married and you just do not have sex. This is a 16.4% increase in the last 20 years. So there's always couples, maybe they're not particularly passionate. They don't have sex often. They get a little older. They decide, yeah, it's not really worth it. It's too much mental stress, something like that. There is an understandable amount of people who just don't have sexual relationships with their partner. But nearly half is an amazing...
Young people don't get married, but they have sex all the time. Once they get married,
yeah, that's
out
weird.
The window okay. In the U.S.
Because it means when you're young, you are a sexually active person. Getting married should not inhibit that. I could understand it, the number going down, like going from every day to once a week or something. Sure, that's a significant decline, but still, you're doing it. I find it weird if I'm attracted to someone, being physical with them increases that attraction to me. But anyways... let's get back onto the surveys. This is a very survey-heavy podcast in general, so if you like your surveys, this is the place to come. 13.9% do it once a month. So you have 48.3% are never doing it all. Stick on top of that, 13.9% are only doing it once a month. So that is 60% of people are doing it less than twice a month. 24.3% of men say their partner has no response to them. So basically they try to get romantic, or maybe they don't even know how anymore because it's been so long, and their partner does not respond positively to their advances. 12% of the men say they lack motivation. So they're too tired from work. They come home, they see their wife and they're like, I don't even want to right now, whether she wants to or not. It seems like in these sexless marriages, both parties are in the same situation where the man's like, I don't have the motivation. And the woman's like, well, neither do I. So there we are. 22.6% of women say that it is mendokusai. So mendokusai is the Japanese for troublesome, or a hassle. It is annoying. There's a couple of ways you could interpret mendokusai, but mendokusai is always negative. There's no good mendokusai. It's troublesome, too much work, a hassle. So like homework is mendokusai. I don't want to do it. It's too much work. Living your life for a company is mendokusai. It's troublesome. I don't want to do it. So they're saying having sex with their partner, 22.6% of women are saying that is mendokusai. It's too much of a hassle to actually have sex with them. 20.8% say they're too tired from work. So that there is 40% of women. 20% are saying it's just, I don't like it anymore. Or it's just too much work. And the other 20% are saying, I'm too tired. And my argument about the birth rate in Japan, I many times on Ninja News Japan have directly linked that to the work-life balance culture in Japan, because they don't have energy to do things other than work. They put all their energy into work, means you don't have these other relationships, these other aspects of your life. A different survey was done in 2024 and found that 64.2% of married couples were sexless. So that's one survey saying 48.3, about 50%. The next one is saying 64.2%. So that is shockingly different. That is a shocking number, because now we're getting 65% of people who are married just don't have sex. And that is normally considered an important part of a relationship, But to me, there's the other side of it where the cheating culture in Japan is so almost blatant, because love hotels exist. Love hotels, they claim, are because we live in family units. You got young people who live with their families. They can't just have sex in their apartment. So they go to a love hotel with their partner. But realistically, that would not sustain an industry. So it's got to be married people having sex with other married people for the most part. That's a bit shocking. 12.9% of students who went to universities abroad are sexless, compared to 53.4% of graduates from Japanese universities are sexless. So there is an exposure to foreign cultures that actually increases maybe your drive or understanding or desire to have sex. So it seems like having experiences outside of Japan broadens your view, which also includes your view of sexuality, which is a very interesting note and another sort of commentary on where Japan is struggling, because if Japan wants to fix anything, it's going to have to fix its birth rate, because otherwise Japan just isn't going to exist anymore.